While giant financial service companies like Citibank and AIG remain at the center of the global economic crisis, in recent years, these same financial institutions have nurtured relationships with corrupt regimes. According to the British human rights group, Global Witness, big banks such as Citibank, Barclays, and HSBC exploited loopholes in anti-corruption laws to service wealthy oil clients in corrupt states like Equatorial Guinea, Charles Taylor's Liberia, and Turkmenistan in Central Asia. Global Witness is calling on the G20 nations, who represent 80% of the global economy, to strengthen bank transparency rules and force banks to identify the real customers in international transactions. In 2004, Riggs Bank collapsed after a U.S. Senate investigation exposed its ties to oil funds held by the corrupt regime in Equatorial Guinea. Through various accounts, Citibank allowed former Liberian President Charles Taylor, now on trial for war crimes in The Hague, to personally use the global banking system to profit from timber sales. Global Witness points out that these same big banks are members of the elite Wolfsburg Group, which advocates voluntary anti-corruption standards. Their report reveals that these voluntary guidelines had no effect on corrupt banking practices. On the 50th anniversary of his exile from Tibet, the Dalai Lama condemned the Chinese crackdown on last spring's protests, calling conditions in his country hell on earth. Fearing another wave of protests, China imposed a massive crackdown on Tibet and nearby provinces in the days leading up to the March 10th anniversary. According to the Los Angeles Times, roads leading to remote Tibetan villages were filled with armed personnel carriers and buses filled with riot police. Security cameras were also visible in the capital city of Lhasa, where ethnic Chinese merchants were attacked by Tibetan protesters last March. The Dalai Lama held three sets of talks last year with Chinese authorities seeking more autonomy for Tibet, but the talks ended in failure. Meanwhile, younger Tibetan activists are advocating independence for Tibet. Columbia University Tibet expert Robbie Barnett told the Christian Science Monitor, "Things are more critical than they have been in many, many years. This is a tinderbox, and the Chinese are very aware of that." Connecticut Congressman John Larson has proposed a bill to create a broad-based carbon tax to fight global warming. So far, the Larson bill has little support, as the Obama administration and congressional Democrats have embraced the market-based cap-and-trade system to control carbon emissions. Even Nobel Prize winner Al Gore has withdrawn his support for a carbon tax and now backs the administration's push for a cap-and-trade system. In an email to the New York Times, Gore said that the cap-and-trade model offered a realistic prospect for a global treaty on climate change and argued that the politics of passing a carbon tax were just too difficult. Gore and many top Democrats were burned during President Clinton's first term when their proposed BTU tax was harshly attacked by Republicans. Democrats are also wary because the Liberal Party in Canada pushed an energy tax in last fall's election and went on to lose seats to the ruling Conservative Party of Stephen Harper. Larson's bill would impose a $15 tax per metric ton of carbon from mines and refineries. Revenue from the tax would provide a payroll tax rebate as well as investments in clean energy. Larson and many economists say the carbon tax is the most direct way to mitigate carbon emissions, as the tax does not rely on complicated carbon credit derivatives. Carbon tax backers also note that the European cap-and-trade system has failed to meet its own emission reduction targets. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Richard Hill.